Let us continue our to worship our gracious God by giving our attention to his holy word as it comes to us in the second chapter of the gospel according to St. Luke. Our reading comes from verses 8 through 20, where we continue in our Sunday morning series in the gospel according to St. Luke, and where Luke, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, wrote these wonderful words of life concerning the birth of our blessed Savior, the good news of what had come to pass in Bethlehem. Luke chapter 2, beginning in verse 8. And in the same region, the region of Bethlehem, there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. And they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, as it had been told them. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God shall stand forever. Let's look to our God once again in prayer. Almighty God, you have poured upon us the new light of your incarnate word. We thank you for your written word, which reveals your Son. And so we pray that by the help of your Holy Spirit, as we look into your written word, that this light, the light of the world, the light that shines in the darkness and which the darkness cannot overcome, that this light of life would be kindled in our hearts and may shine forth in our lives and all that we think and do and say to the glory of your Son, in whose name we pray. Amen. Angels, we have heard on high, sweetly singing o'er the plains, and the mountains in reply echo back their joyous strains, Gloria in excelsis Deo. While shepherds watched their flocks by night, all seated on the ground, the angel of the Lord came down and glory shone all around. All glory be to God on high, and to earth be peace. Goodwill henceforth from heaven to men begin and never cease. Hark, the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn king. I could keep going, but you get the point. Christmas is about glory. Christmas is about glory. The glory of God revealed in his Son, the birth of his Son, the humble birth of his eternal Son, the Word made flesh, the glory, the splendor, the majesty, the greatness, the glories of his righteousness, the wonders of his love, his incomprehensible, steadfast love and mercy, the glory, the weight, the gravitas, the majesty of God revealed in a baby, wrapped in swaddling cloths, lying in a manger. In Luke's account of our Savior's birth, we find two wonderful examples of how to give glory to God. In other words, how to give back to God the glory, the praise, the worship that he is due for the gift of his Son. Two examples that are in many ways very different beings here revealed in this portion of Luke's gospel, but unified in saying, in the words of Psalm 115 and verse 1, "Not to us, O Lord, not to us, but to your name be the glory, because of your steadfast love and faithfulness." Those two examples, of course, the angels and the shepherds. Let's consider what they can teach us about giving glory to God for the gift of his Son. In the first place, the angels. They gave glory to God on that first Christmas day for the matchless gift of Jesus. They did so in two basic ways, through their witness and their worship. First, their witness. They glorified God through their witness about the greatest of all gifts, the gift of God's Son. God dispatched an angel to bear witness to the shepherds that Jesus had been born in Bethlehem. And we should note that the presence of the angels foreshadowed what would later happen throughout the life and ministry of our Lord. Every major event concerning the life and ministry of our Lord Jesus has been marked and will be marked by the presence of holy angels. The announcement of his conception to Mary and to Joseph came through an angel. The announcement of his birth, as we just read, came through an angel to the shepherds. At the conclusion of his temptation in the wilderness, when he bound the devil, when he defeated Satan on our behalf in that way, angels came and ministered to him there in the wilderness. On Good Friday, the day of his passion in the Garden of Gethsemane, when he prayed, "Not my will, Father, but yours be done," an angel appeared to strengthen him that he might persevere in what the Father had given him to do. Later in that garden, Jesus would mention angels, telling Peter, "Put away your sword. Don't you know that if I ask my Father in heaven, he would send 12 legions of angels to destroy these men who have come to arrest me?" But then the scriptures could not be fulfilled. The scriptures which said, "I must go to Jerusalem and suffer and die there on behalf of the sins of my people." There, significantly, Jesus mentions the absence of the angels, for on the cross, the angels did not appear to help him. He was alone. He was forsaken in that hour for you and for me. But 3 days later, angels appeared again to announce to the women at the empty tomb the resurrection of our Lord. And 40 days after, on the day of his ascension, angels appeared when he ascended into glory telling the disciples that he would return in glory in the same way. And indeed, when he returns, when he comes again, at his second advent, angels wonderfully will accompany him. So here, with the announcement of his birth, angels appear. They announce the birth of our Savior. But they announce them in a very interesting place. They went to the shepherds, these lowly shepherds, in a field of Bethlehem. These majestic servants of heaven went to some of the lowliest servants on earth. Professional shepherds were typically very poor and looked down upon. People were suspicious of them. They were known to be thievish. They were considered to be so untrustworthy that they were not allowed to give testimony in courts of law. But God loved these shepherds. He loves the unlovely. He loves those who are despised and rejected of men. So much so that the Son of God became one of them, a shepherd, despised and rejected of men. God loved these shepherds. So he sent his angels to them to witness to them concerning the greatest news ever spoken. When the angel of the Lord appeared to them, the glory of the Lord shone around the shepherds, and they were filled with great fear. But the angel said to them what Gabriel said to Zechariah and Mary when he appeared to them, and they were scared. He said, "Fear not. I came not to stir up in you great fear, but great joy. I came not to scare you, but to share the good news with you of our Savior's, of the Savior's birth." They said to the shepherds, fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. More literally, the angel of the Lord said, I evangelize you. That would be a literal translation. I evangelize you with great joy, which will be for all the people. The angel appeared on a mission of love to share with them the good news of God's greatness revealed in the humility of a manger. Back in the Old Testament, Moses asked God to show him his glory, manifest his glory in his presence on the earth. And what did God say to him? Careful what you ask for. You cannot see my glory and live. Moses' request for the manifestation of God's glory on earth was not ultimately fulfilled in Moses' day. And it was not ultimately fulfilled with the dramatic appearance of the shepherds and the glory that shone around the shepherds when the angels appeared to them. That was a warm-up for the manifestation of God's glory. Moses' request for God to manifest his glory, his greatness, the greatness of his steadfast love and mercy, was fulfilled in the baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a feeding trough. In him, the glory of God, the glories of his righteousness, the wonders of his love are most fully revealed. In him, God's grace and mercy are most fully put on display. The angels witnessed to the shepherds so that they could see the glory of God most fully revealed in the face of Jesus Christ. That's where his glory is most fully revealed, in his beloved Son. So first witness, second worship. The angels glorified God. They honored and ascribed glory to him by worshiping him. They said, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased. Or as other manuscript, ancient manuscripts put it, on earth peace, goodwill toward men. The angels did not receive glory. They gave glory to God for the gift of his Son. Angels, because they dwell in the immediate presence of God, are so magnificent that even the most seasoned saint would be tempted to worship them if they appeared in his presence. How do we know this? Even the most theologically sound, seasoned saint would be tempted to worship an angel if an angel appeared in front of him. How do we know this? Because St. John did just that twice in the book of Revelation. Revelation chapter 19 and verse 10. There we read that St. John fell at the feet of an angel who appeared to him. What did the angel say? Don't do that. Don't do that, John. St. John, who knew Jesus so intimately, laid his head on the bosom of our Lord, was entrusted with the care of Mary by our Lord. St. John the theologian, as the church has historically called him because of his wonderful theology of Christ, the light, life, and love of God in the flesh. John bowed down and worshiped this angel. The angel said, don't do it, don't do it. I am a creature, a fellow servant with you. Worship only God. And in Revelation 22 and verse 9, John worshiped the angel again. So majestic are these beings. And again, the angel said to him, don't do that. Worship only God. The angels do not receive worship. They give worship. They inspire worship. Worship of God. And specifically, Hebrews 1:6 says, when God brought his firstborn into the world, he said, let all God's angels worship him. God instructed his angels to worship the baby born in Bethlehem. And they have been doing so ever since, without fail. So when we pray the Lord's Prayer and we ask for our Father's name to be hallowed and his kingdom to come and his will be done on earth as it is in heaven, that is part of what we are praying for. That we will worship Jesus here as the angels do in heaven. The angels of heaven took no glory for themselves in the field of Bethlehem. They gave all the glory to God on Christmas Day for the birth of his Son. So first, the angels. Great example to follow in the worship of God and witnessing for God. And second, the shepherds gave glory to God for the gift of the newborn in Bethlehem. How did they do it? Same way the angels did it. Witness and worship. Witness and worship. First witness. The shepherds believed the witness of the angels. And they went with haste to Bethlehem to see the one the angels had told them about. That's how you know you've believed the gospel, is you start to take different steps in life. Your life starts to change. You start to do things you wouldn't have done otherwise. Good things. Loving things. Faithful things. They went with haste, without delay, to Bethlehem to see the one the angels had told them about. And when they came upon the scene of our Lord's nativity, they witnessed to whom? To Mary and Joseph. You might say, who do you think you are, shepherds? telling the good news to the mother of our Lord and his earthly father. Don't you think these people kind of have it all figured out already? But that's what they did. They went and did what they were told to do. They went and witnessed. They shared the good news concerning this one born to Mary with Mary and Joseph and all who were there concerning what the angels had told them, that this baby born in such humility is the Savior of the nations, Christ the Lord. Again, Mary and Joseph, stop and think about this. Mary and Joseph had already been told these things. Angels had already revealed these things to them 9 months before. These things concerning their son. But notice that the witness of the shepherds still had a profound impact on them. God chose to use shepherds to encourage Mary and Joseph and to reinforce to them the truth that had previously been heard from angels and believed in their hearts. God did this to show that he can use any of us to witness about his son. Again, think about who he used there on Christmas Day to bear witness about his son. Those who were despised and rejected, those who were not trusted, not allowed to bear testimony in a court of law. Such were shepherds in the first century. You know who else was like that in the first century? Women. Who did he use on Easter Sunday to first reveal the good news of his resurrection? Women. God chooses to use those who are overlooked, despised, rejected, not thought of as trustworthy. God chooses to use humble vessels to reveal his wonderful news. Mary and Joseph were given the humility to listen. To listen. Think about Mary and Joseph. They had heard the good news concerning their son from angels, from the realms of glory. They might have been tempted to think, these shepherds are not quite the ambassadors of his good news that we've heard from before. They don't quite meet our expectation of what a channel of God's truth should look like and be like and smell like. But they humbled themselves and they listened. And that's a great encouragement to us, to humble ourselves and listen to all those who bear God's image, and to discern, and to believe the truth, no matter who speaks it to us. God may surprise us with who he will choose to use to speak his truth into our lives. Mary and Joseph and all those listened to what the shepherds had to say. Again, Mary and Joseph had heard it before, but they needed reassuring, didn't they? Their journey to Bethlehem had been hard. The labor, no doubt, was hard. They were tired. Mary was aching. Perhaps they were fearful about what was coming. If no one, including their relatives in Bethlehem, had room for them, where else could they go and be received? Where else could they go and make a living and make a life and raise this child? The words of humble shepherds strengthened their faith in the child who had been born to them on that day. They marveled at what the shepherds told them. And in verse 19, Luke said, Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart, not just the events of that day, but the witness of the shepherds. She treasured them. And she thought about them often. And they fed her soul concerning the truth about her son. The shepherds glorified God and blessed others through their humble, loving, faithful witness about Jesus. And thus, dear Christian, so can you. And they glorified him through their worship. Verse 20, the shepherds returned to their fields, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as it had been told them. They gave glory to the shepherd of shepherds, who one day would lay down his life for them, his sheep. Indeed, Bethlehem's shepherds were known to care for paschal lambs, lambs that would be taken up to Jerusalem and used as sacrificial lambs at the temple. So on that first Christmas day, these shepherds had left those lambs and gone to see the Lamb of God who would take away the sin of the world. Thus they loved him. They loved their own sheep, and they cared for their own sheep. But that day they came to know the one who is both shepherd and sheep, who would sacrifice himself on the altar of Calvary for them. And so they praise God for his matchless gift. In her poem, Love Came Down at Christmas, Christina Rossetti tells us the best way to follow in their footsteps in witnessing to a needy world and worshiping God for the gift of his son. She said, love came down at Christmas. Love all lovely, love divine. Love was born at Christmas. Star and angels gave the sign. Worship we the Godhead, love incarnate, love divine. Worship we our Jesus, but wherewith for sacred sign. In other words, the wise men had a star as their sign to lead them to worship the Christ child. The shepherds had a sign, the angels, and what they told them about the baby in swaddling cloths and the manger. They had a sign to direct them to worship the newborn king. What sign do we have to give a weary world that Jesus has been born to save sinners? What's our sign that we hold up to a weary world that they might rejoice in Jesus born to save us? The poet says, love. Love shall be our token. The love that was incarnated at Christmas. The love that is patient and kind. The love that does not envy or boast. That is not arrogant or rude or irritable or resentful. The love that keeps no record of wrongs. The love that does not rejoice in wrongdoing, but rejoices in the truth. This love expressed shall be our token. Love shall be our token, she says. Love shall be yours and love be mine. Love to God and all men. Love for plea and gift and sign. May our love for God and all who bear his image be the worshipful witness, the sign we give a weary world that Christ was born in Bethlehem and that he has been born in us. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.